1330 WEVY, Milton, Pensacola, Gulf Breeze, Northwest Florida's talk radio.
From Saigon, this is the American Forces Vietnam Network, presenting Million Dollar Music for the Aquarian Age.
3.4 million Americans served in Vietnam and the surrounding theater during the war. Some volunteered, some were drafted. They came from all 50 states. They were different races, different religions. They liked different sports teams. But there were two things that every serviceman shared. They wore the uniform of the United States military, and they listened to the American Forces Vietnam Network on the radio. This broadcast on 1330 AM WEBY tells the real story of radio in Vietnam. Join us as we honor our Vietnam veterans and share the untold story of the American Forces Vietnam Network and those who served.
AFVN Audio 85.
Da Nang.
Good morning, Vietnam.
Marine Sergeant Harry Simons was stationed at both AFVN Saigon and AFVN Da Nang from 1967 through 1969. He provided WEBY with many hours of studio tape recordings of his rock and roll music programs, as well as those of other AFVN personalities. These have not been heard since they were originally broadcast in Vietnam nearly 50 years ago.
AFVN worldwide news coverage, heard every hour on the hour.
For the Americans in the rice paddies, jungles, military bases, hospitals, and cities of Southeast Asia, AFVN was there. Even in the skies and on the sea, all it took was a turn of a knob, and the sounds of war were replaced with the sounds of home.
AFVN Channel 56.
Play two.
Chicken Man!
He's everywhere!
This is not a typical documentary about the Vietnam War. This is not about the sound of helicopters or machine guns or explosions. This isn't about the sound of the war itself. It's about the soundtrack of the war. AFVN was heard everywhere. On bases, in hooches, in trucks, aboard ships, in cockpits, and even in the fields of battle. Wherever Americans were, AFVN accompanied them. AFVN was a universal element of the Vietnam experience as it delivered the critical sounds of home to the men and women who were thousands of miles from home. This is that story. This is AFVN, the GI's Companion. This special tribute program is proudly sponsored by Gulf Power, Pennair Federal Credit Union, The Retirement Planners, Milton Dodge, and Joe Patty Seafood.
AFVN Channel 93.
Hi, love. Welcome once again to Another Date with Chris. And this is Chris Noel doing the welcoming.
You've heard the music often. It's what's between the music that is so unique. So we have shortened the songs to fit more of the AFVN programs into this documentary. Let's now turn back the calendar. Let's now go halfway around the world. Let's now listen to the American Forces Vietnam Network.
Heavy sounds by the Fever. Don't come crying to me, gal. 9:29 with your brother.
Oh, I decided to go. Don't come crying to me, girl. from the brand new album, Another Place, Another Time.
Hey man, back to the world today. Were you just looking at that big bird in the sky? Freedom. Freedom.
If I may interject.
Yeah, man, go ahead.
The world refers to military returning to CONUS. The big bird in the sky refers to a civilian aircraft, usually a Boeing 727, used as a mode of transportation.
Yeah, man, yeah. You're the English teacher or something? I don't know. The world, man, you know the world, what you refer to. The old duffel bag drag and a bowl of cornflakes and civilian life, here I come.
The term duffel bag drag is one associated with the equipment that a soldier has and the apparatus he uses to transport it. A bowl of cornflakes is an expression that may be used in conjunction with another slang expression, wake up. Both terms acknowledge the awareness of the soldier that his zero state has arrived and he is returning home. One very important reminder for soldiers in Vietnam who are returning home is that any aerosol cans or explosives of any type should not be shipped home. An explosion in midair would be disastrous.
What a bummer, man. What a bummer.
The expression bummer refers to an unnecessary accident that should not have occurred. Fellas, be sensible. The shipping of explosives in your baggage is, well, nowhere, man.
The new Audio 85 and Harry Simons happens with...
We're gonna happen with Mr. Tom Dooley. My groovy baby.
Oh, do I love her.
Wow. 9:32 with your brother in the city.
Now I've seen a lot of women, and I've had a lot of girls. Baby, now that I've found you, there's only one in this world. Well, I know that I love her so, and I will never, never let her go. A love I couldn't live without. I'm talking about my groovy baby. My groovy baby.
My groovy baby, Tom Dooley of Boss Radio. I'm 35 with your brother. Hey, big spender. Yeah, you know who you are. Stop racking your brain trying to find out and find expensive gifts and conversation pieces. Why not avail yourself to the Uniform Service Savings Deposit Program? You know, it's probably the best savings program in the world, and it's available only to servicemen overseas. You receive 10% interest compounded quarterly on all cash deposits. And for the restless breed out there who can't stand the sight of their savings growing, money cannot be withdrawn until you return to CONUS. You may also elect to keep your savings in the program up to 90 days after you return stateside in order to take advantage of an extra dividend period. So don't go back to the world flat broke. Invest in the Uniform Savings Deposit Program. You'll invest in your future. We got Sound Power by Mr. Arlo Guthrie. This is entitled The Motorcycle Song from his brand new album. Digging heavy sounds from the big boss sound of the American Forces Vietnam Network.
I don't want a pickle, just want to ride on my motorcycle. And I don't want a tickle, I'd rather ride on my motorcycle. And I
Mr. Arlo Guthrie and the Motorcycle Song and the Big 8-5.
The system is very go with Radio Go Go. Swing and be in Radio Rock.
You're in the midst of a happening from the American Forces Vietnam Network with your brother, Napier 96337, drawer 40 in the city of Dang Yang. 16 to go before news time on the hour at 10 o'clock. Here's the traffic and the tunnel trolley feed.
There's something I want you to so people get up on the train. Cancel the ticket on that train.
A tuneful trolley by the traffic. 946, APO 96337. Now, you know, pet monkeys are amusing, but they can also be dangerous since they are often carriers of rabies, tuberculosis, and other diseases fatal to man. Now, your area vet detachment provides inoculations and tests required to ensure a healthy life for your pet and for you. If you have a pet monkey or any kind of pet, take care of it by visiting the annual veterinarian detachment near you. 74 hot ones in the city. This is full of misery. The Forum Forum. On the American Forces Vietnam Network.
There'll come a day when I can hide. I'll feel the pain deep down inside. What should I take on? I'm gonna break some. I'm gonna put myself right in your place. I'll shrug my shoulders, turn my face.
Losing Harry Simons for a while.
Ain't grade school wonderful?
Feels up there.
For nursing you, little darling. I am beside her, lonely, or sick, or hurting, dingy, or squirrely, or my in person.
Yay, honey.
This is where it's at, where it's happening. AFBN Radio.
Say who sings the song, Jefferson Airplane.
You keep asking why he likes you. How come one love I had once more? If he just had some boys, she's got more to play with in the way of toys. The ladies are so up and on.
sounds by Jefferson Airplane and the Greasy Hearts.
Almost everything you touch in Vietnam is liable to carry some disease, a disease that is foreign to you, something your body is unable to fight. One way to protect yourself against disease is to maintain an up-to-date shot record. Before you came to Vietnam, you no doubt received a complete set of inoculations. Two shots in particular are very important for your continued good health, the plague and cholera shots. In Vietnam, both of these shots are required once every 6 months, so check your record. And if you need to update your card, talk to your medic or doctor. Remember, 70% of all servicemen admitted to hospitals in Vietnam are suffering from diseases, not wounds. You are here to perform an important job, so don't let foul health foul you up.
Music power, power, power. Big Power Play, a hit song this week on AFN Power 4. This is Music Power Now.
Six to go before news time from the American Forces Vietnam Network and Bill Deal and the Rondells singing. She wrote for another Go Radio program, a happening from the American Forces Vietnam Network for the 26th day of March, 1969, with your brother, Brigade Sergeant Harry Simons, lighting the fires of I Corps from AFVN and Boss Radio. Gonna do it all over again tomorrow night. The last time you're gonna hear the Go Radio program done by yours truly. So don't forget to join us on the 27th, the 28th day. Let me see. Tomorrow's Thursday. Forget the whole thing. Ah, wow. Number 27, Thursday, March 69. Now you got it, Simons. Right on. News follows on the American Forces Vietnam Network. Until that time, tomorrow night, 9:05, your brother's going to say a word, and that word, it's got to be real.
Information.
information and entertainment 24 hours a day. This is AFVN Internet.
10% interest, compounded quarterly. One of the best financial investments anyone can make. It's available to you under the Overseas Savings Deposit Program. 10% interest on your savings. Check with your finance officer. He'll give you complete details on the Overseas Savings Deposit Program.
News follows from the American Forces Vietnam Network at the automatic cycling tone, 2200.
Harry, what was that cycling tone all about?
Well, Mike, the cycling tone was electronically calibrated. It was a timing system that AFEN had in Saigon, and it automatically generated a tone into the top of the hour programming. So stations around the network, of course, could set their clocks by that tone, and I presume the military personnel around the country who needed to know the precise time for whatever operational reasons would use that tone to set their watches and their clocks.
Scott Manning may not be a household name, but when he was in Vietnam with the Army, his influence on AFEN programming was very significant. Scott, did you volunteer for the military, or were you drafted?
Actually, I volunteered. I enlisted. I think that I was about to be drafted, and thing was, if you were drafted, you were in the service for 2 years. If you enlisted, it was for a period of 3 years. But if you chose the enlistment option, you got to choose your training. It didn't guarantee that that would be what you ultimately ended up doing in the service, but at least it put you in a direction. So I enlisted for the Defense Information School, which taught journalism and broadcasting. But after that, everybody in that graduating class, it was a joint services school, so there were Navy people and Air Force people, Marines in the school. But from that graduating class that I was in, everyone in the Army did not go to Armed Forces Radio or anything like that. We were all sent to psychological operations. First, we spent a couple of weeks with the Green Berets in Carolina, and then we were all shipped off to Saigon.
What was your job at the time that you enlisted, Scott?
I was working for WCFL in Chicago, did publicity and public relations for them. I would write press releases, I arranged personal appearances, things like that.
WCFL Chicago was the flagship station for the radio serial Chicken Man.
Yes.
And Dick Orkin, the creator of Chicken Man, of course, worked at WCFL, and he credits you with bringing Chicken Man onto AFVN in Vietnam.
Oh, that's true.
How did that come about?
Well, working there, I knew just how popular that was. It was something of a phenomenon. It was appointment radio. People made a point to be listening when the new episodes would air. And I had the feeling that it would go over well. We were trying to be entertaining there. You know, the mission was to inform and to entertain, and I thought the Chicken Man would really be a good fit. I spoke with the manager of the station on several occasions, a fellow named Lou Witz. This was after I found out that we could actually call from Saigon to Chicago on the phone, and folks at the other end who got those calls never refused to answer. Scott's on the phone for you from Saigon. What? And Lou finally gave us the go-ahead to air Chicken Man with the condition that we had to supply the blank tape used to duplicate the episodes. So I had to send him a box of 10-inch reels, and then we waited for the duplicating to be done and for those things to come back and got him on the air as quick as we could.
How often did Chicken Man air on AFVN?
Twice a day. Once in the morning, once in the afternoon.
Were you the program director at that point, Scott, or were you not yet program director, but your superiors went along with your suggestion to bring Chicken Man to Vietnam?
I'm pretty sure that I was program director at that time. I was there for a year, started off as staff announcer, became chief announcer, and then program director, and all that happened pretty quick.
Can you give me a timeline on when you first arrived at AFVN and when you left?
As far as being assigned there, that would have been from August of 1968 to August of 69. I was first in country in August of 67, July or August, and was assigned to a psychological operations unit, which was also in Saigon. But I contacted the radio station and volunteered to help them out doing basically public service announcements. Of course, they didn't have commercials. Instead of commercials, we had announcements about taking your pills to keep from getting malaria, or warning about the dangers of drug abuse, or advertising destinations for R&R. So even before I was assigned there, I was doing some work over there.
Well, Scott, you did the Go Show, didn't you?
Yes. That was from 7 till 9 in the evening, Monday through Friday.
I've got something for you to listen to.
Told you a couple of minutes ago we're going to have a special guest. Well, we got him. The old chicken just walked in. No comments there from the peanut gallery, please. As I've been telling you for the last couple of days here, AFEN's gone mad, literally. Isn't that right?
That's mod.
Oh, that's mod. I'm sorry about that. And your new Go Radio host, Phase 1 and Phase 2, will be Army Specialist Scott Manning, and we want to extend yourself. Where'd you work before you came here?
Here, I think. I hope.
Give us a little rundown.
Well, I was doing mostly radio production there. One of the things that we did do was the Chicken Man series, which, of course, is heard every morning on the Dawnbuster with Marine Sergeant John Horton, and we're happy to announce that coming Monday, with the new mod look to AFBN, Chicken Man will also be heard on Go every evening about 8:30. And we'll also be heard in a new program called Orient Express
late
at night. So if you don't have a chance to hear it in the morning, you'll be able to hear Chicken Man two other times during every day.
Well, I hear you had a good time with your chickens the other day. We have these little these forms here. It's called a discrepancy sheet, and we all fill them up every day, let me tell you. Well, this one, this guy's got a story to tell, that's for sure.
Well, no, a discrepancy sheet is where you put down the mistakes that you make. And say, while I was sitting here at the American Forces Vietnam Network playing some of the pre-recorded programs we have from the AFRTS radio service in Los Angeles, a photographer from the Stars and Stripes who was doing a little story on Chicken Man walked in and wanted to take a picture, and as a prop he had brought along something which he purchased downtown for 250 piastres, a live chicken. And I couldn't hold on to it, and it landed on a record. And
beautiful.
No one here will believe me that that was what caused the record.
Well,
thank you, Harry.
Thanks for coming. Hey, come on by a second hour, and we'll chat some more.
I will do that. Thank
groovy,
you, Harry.
Groovy. Go Phase number one, 1930. Hang on, people.
Scott Manning, that was you and Harry Simons nearly 50 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. I guess I was wrong about the timing of when we started airing the Chicken Man thing. I apologize for that, but again, it is close to 50 years ago. But the rest of the circumstances as described were pretty much what I remembered.
Scott, do you remember that handoff when you inherited that show from Corporal Harry Simons?
You know, I don't remember doing that interview, so I'm really happy to hear it. I don't really have a lot of recordings from back then.
Scott, as program director of AFVN in Vietnam, did you have autonomy as program director among all the stations or just the one flagship station in Saigon?
The programming from Saigon was carried on the affiliate stations upcountry, Nha Trang and Pleiku and Da Nang and places like that, Cameron Bay. They had a certain number of hours each day when they would broadcast local shows. It was only maybe 4 or 5 hours a day, and the rest of the time they carried the network programming. So we determined which hours those were, and except for the hours when local programming was going on, then they carried the feed from Saigon without any kind of interruptions.
Was the local programming at those affiliate stations directed by you, or did they have local autonomy?
They had local autonomy.
How much autonomy did you have in terms of what you wanted to do with the radio network? And by that I mean, were the higher-ups in either headquarters or, worse, the Pentagon telling you what to do and micromanaging your decisions?
No, and that was kind of a surprise to me. I went into the situation realizing that there was a chain of command involved, and that you had to carry on a certain sense of a military bearing. I knew that there were boundaries that we couldn't go outside of. There are things, a lot of things that were just common sense. And I came to realize that as long as I didn't suggest or try to make changes that would put us outside those boundaries, everything went pretty well. I didn't really have too much trouble getting approval for the changes that I wanted to make or the kinds of programming and production that I put on the air.
What was your goal as program director for AFEN? What were you trying to accomplish with the sound?
I was trying to make it sound more like stations in the States. I wanted it to be to take the place of the radio that they would have to listen to if they were back home. I wanted it to be that kind of experience.
From what we've heard from others that we have interviewed, and I don't mean AFEN personnel, I mean people that served listening to the radio, not producing the programming, I think you accomplished that because they all have used that word, home, sound of home.
Did the best we could. We tried to play music that there was a lot of communication going on, a lot of letter writing. At the time, cassette tape recorders were becoming very popular, and a lot of people sent home audio letters, and in return they got audio back from their friends and families in the States, which often included recordings of local radio stations. So if we were going to fulfill the mission, at least as far as I saw it, there had to be similarity between the way that we sounded and the way that those radio stations that people were hearing from back in the States were sounding.
Scott, I know there was censorship in the news that was broadcast on AFEN, but was your music censored in any way? Was there a do not playlist?
You know, I never did see a list. The way that this worked was the music was provided to us by AFRTS in Los Angeles, the Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. They were not actually in charge of the stations anywhere in the world. They were a service. They provided us with programming. And we were only allowed to play songs which had been provided to us by AFRTS. A lot of that was because of the legalities involved. They had to get approvals for every song that they transferred onto discs and sent out to Armed Forces Radio around the world. And also they, to at least some extent, did not include some songs. Anything that they thought might have drug references, we didn't get. Example of that would be the song Cloud Nine by The Temptations. We never did get that. There was a lot of drama surrounding the Rolling Stones song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. It was a very popular song in country, even though we really never played it. It wasn't provided to us. And I think that the reason for that was actually more because they thought that there were sexual connotations to the song. It wasn't so much that they thought that it reflected badly on our participation in the war or anything like that. But there were really very few songs that we did not get. One song that we did get was We Gotta Get Out of This Place by The Animals, which was also a big favorite. I Can't Get No Satisfaction did get played on the air once, and that did not go over well with superiors.
Do you remember who played it?
It was part of a countdown. A fellow named Bob Casey did a weekend show, and it was basically a request program, and during the summer of 69, Bob invited people to send in requests. All that was done by mail at the time. And then he was going to play a countdown of the most requested songs. And he wanted me to co-host the program. I said I would, but I didn't want to see the list before we went on the air. And when we got down to number one, it turned out to be Satisfaction, and Bob played it. As I said, the higher-ups were not at all happy about this, and they were attempting to take some sort of disciplinary action against Bob. And as it happened, Bob had been scheduled for surgery back in the States and was only going to be there for a few more days anyway. So me being actually responsible for the programming of the station and having co-hosted the program, even though I had only about a month left in country, I was sent on a scenic tour of the upcountry affiliates.
As a punishment?
Yes.
How did the song end up available to play on the air in the first place if it had not been provided by AFRTS in Los Angeles?
Well, we had no trouble getting songs. It just was a matter of whether or not they had been provided to us on an official basis. You know, people were being sent records and tape recordings and things like that. Also, some of the shows that were provided to us, the complete programs, a fellow named Gene Weed comes to mind. He was a Los Angeles radio personality, and he had an hour-long program, and sometimes he would include songs which had not been cleared by AFRTS, and we would go ahead and lift them off the disc, feeling that because they had come on a disc from AFRTS, that would be okay.
Did that turn out to be a correct assumption?
Not always.
No. A lot of music that Chris Noel's program included, I don't remember being in the AFRTS or AFEN library. Do you recall that?
Yeah, you're right about that. Chris also played a lot of requests, and not all of those were in the library of available songs.
When you did an on-air shift yourself at AFVN, what hours were you on the air?
I was on Monday through Friday from 7 till 9 in the evening, and then Chris Noel came up right after that.
What was the name of your show?
It's called Go, with an exclamation point.
I know about the Go show. Tell me about the Sgt. Pepper show.
The Sgt. Pepper show was actually something else that I kind of got the inspiration for from WCFL. A DJ named Ron Britton had a Sunday evening program that was called the Subterranean Circus. At the time, these long kind of psychedelic tracks were coming out. Groups like Vanilla Fudge, bands like The Doors, Big Brother and the Holding Company. They had tracks that weren't always top 40 hits. Jimi Hendrix would be on that list too. They were usually longer songs with a kind of a psychedelic bent to them, and songs that we wouldn't be able to play during the week. We got a lot of requests for these songs, but they just didn't fit into the regular format, and so that was kind of the inspiration for the Sgt. Pepper program, which I understand continued for years after I left.
Well, the Sgt. Pepper program must have been so popular that the Beatles named an album after it.
I think that may have been the other way around. The Sgt. Pepper thing was just a play on the fact that there were so many sergeants around.
Understood. I was actually just being funny there, but which came first, the chicken or the egg, right?
No, I got the drift.
Scott Manning, what were some of your off-air responsibilities at AFVN?
Well, I mentioned being chief announcer and program director. I also produce all of the station's format production, lead-ins to the news, and breakaway things for the affiliated stations to cut away for their local programming, along with the hours that they had locally. They also had a 20 or 30 second spot right before the news at the top of the hour where they could put in little local PSAs and announcements, things that pertain to the listeners in their part of the country. It was a little bit intricate because of the cutting away and the rejoining and all that. So it was a fairly complicated thing. And I really had an idea in my head how I wanted the network to sound. So I ended up doing most of that stuff myself.
You know, it's interesting that you got an opportunity to be able to travel to the other detachments. What was your reaction when you actually got to see what the other detachments had to work with?
I was surprised that they were very rudimentary. The facilities were crude. And also, I was surprised at how much more vulnerable they were than we were in we were in a compound that also had the Vietnamese official radio and television station right across the way. So we were really heavily guarded. We had military police and other security personnel. There was a tower right behind the station for the FM transmitter, and they actually built a platform about halfway up that tower, and that was constantly manned with a couple of armed guards just to keep an eye on the perimeter. So we felt really safe in Saigon. I could not say the same for the stations upcountry. I remember spending a night in Da Nang where I could see a firefight going on and hear it right outside my window. And so the first thing I did was get to the lower bunk, and then I prayed.
Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that in Saigon, that the Vietnamese station was right across the fence separating the driveway, they were constantly being targeted. Do you remember when there was an attack on that building that actually put a hole in the opposite side of the building that we would look at from AFEN's point of view?
I don't remember that specifically. I remember AFEN getting hit by a mortar once. There wasn't a lot of damage, but when I came in, all the ceilings were on the floor. all the drop type ceilings, all the panels had come down. But I don't think anyone was injured in that incident, and the damage that we had was pretty much superficial.
Scott, what did you do in your downtime when you weren't working?
When I got to AFEN, I spent a lot of time there. Like I say, I really produced most of the format stuff myself. That was pretty time-consuming. I usually had to be there by about 10 in the morning, and I was on the air till 9 at night. So I spent most of my time there working on things. Also, especially after the Tet Offensive, going out on the economy was riskier and more dangerous, I suppose, than it had been before. So most of our socializing was within the hotels where we lived. We'd get together, play cards. We played a lot of board games, Monopoly and Clue and stuff like that. We'd listen to music. Most of the hotels had some sort of restaurant, often with a bar attached to it. So a lot of times once we got back from work, we just stayed put.
Scott Manning, thank you for your service.
It was an honor. It was often difficult, but I was proud to be there doing what I was doing. And it was good in a way because I felt like what we were doing had a very positive effect on the others who were assigned there. And with all of the controversy about the war, this was a contribution which there would be no controversy over. It was something that was just done to improve morale and to entertain and inform. And I think that we fulfilled that mission pretty well.
I've spoken to many veterans of the Vietnam War recently, and every person remembers AFVN, and every person remembers it in a positive light. The contribution of AFVN to the morale of the troops, I think, was greater than anyone realizes.
That would be gratifying to know, and it's gratifying to hear.
This is AFVN News on the Hour.
Good evening. This is Army Specialist David Heller with these reports from major American networks, wire services, and military sources. At last report, the countdown for tonight's launch of the Apollo 7 moon ship was still right on the money at Cape Kennedy. Apollo 7's long and intricate countdown has run like clockwork since it began Sunday, and the weather is currently the only question mark. Occasional showers are forecast, but weathermen anticipate acceptable conditions for the 11 p.m. launch. Astronauts Walter Sherrod, Don Isley, and Walter Cunningham are awake now, eating a hearty breakfast, and they will soon don their fireproof space gear and leave for the launch pad. The Saturn 1B rocket will loft the men in their Apollo capsule into position for an 11-day Earth orbital test run, which, if highly successful, could lead to a manned Christmas flight around the moon. U.S. Defense Secretary Clark Clifford and the other members of NATO's Nuclear Planning Council open a two-day meeting in Bonn today. On the agenda, nuclear defense of Western Europe in the event of a Soviet attack on any NATO member. Political sources in Prague say a treaty legalizing Soviet occupation of Czechoslovakia and possibly the withdrawal of some Warsaw Pact forces is all but signed. Premier Oldřich Černík may leave for Moscow tonight to sign the Kremlin-drafted treaty. An Egyptian foreign minister, Mahmoud Riyad, has urged UN mediators to set a timetable for peace agreements with Israel. Riyad said Egypt would not demand withdrawal of Israeli troops as a first step toward a Mideast peace. American troops have unearthed four big communist supply dumps within 20 miles of Saigon. The GIs were led to two of the supply points by a Hoi Chan. Units from the 82nd Airborne and 25th Infantry Division uncovered the weapons caches. In Baltimore, a federal court jury has convicted nine Roman Catholic pacifists accused of burning the records of a draft board office last May. The defendants, which include two priests, a monk, and three former missionaries, now face sentences of up to 18 years in prison. On Capitol Hill, the campaign debate bill has died. Daniel Shore has complete details.
The proposal for a three-way debate of presidential candidates, overwhelmingly approved by the House yesterday, died in the Senate today without a word. Majority Leader Mike Mansfield called the Senate into session 2 hours early, prepared for a long debate. But no filibuster was needed, just a page boy posted at the door by Minority Leader Everett Dirksen to tell GOP senators not to answer the quorum call. Because so many Democrats are already off fighting their own campaigns, they could only muster 37 of their 63 senators, 14 short of a quorum. Senator Mansfield, admitting defeat, laid the bill aside, moved on to other business. Rhode Island Senator John Testori, floor manager for the bill, was indignant.
Now, it was a tragic situation in the sense that it was very regrettable. I think that debates were absolutely necessary in the public interest. We have important issues that affect the welfare and security of our country and our people, and the confrontation between Mr. Humphrey and Mr. Nixon I consider to be a must. I think that the American people are entitled to this, and these debates should be held.
Republican senators said a debate including George Wallace would have undermined the two-party system and harmed the national interest. Daniel Shore, CBS News, Washington.
Elsewhere in Congress, the House gave its approval to a $1,750,000,000 foreign aid appropriation bill today, only hours after that measure was agreed to in a House-Senate conference. It's the smallest foreign aid appropriation in history, and little more than that requested by the White House. And the House gave its approval today to that bill outlawing the interstate sale of rifles, shotguns, and ammunition. Newsmen asked Republican Congressman Clark McGregor of Minnesota, he's an opponent of the bill, if the vote on gun control was about what he expected.
Oh, I would say it was about what I expected. I think a vote of 160 to 129, a margin of less than 35 votes, actually 31 votes out of a total vote of 300, represents a relatively close decision. I think had we considered the bill at a time other than the day before adjournment of the 90th Congress, the vote would have been closer and probably would have been different. But when you've got more than 160 members absent, you're apt to get a distorted view of the attitude of the House representative.
And that's the news compiled from major American networks, wire services, and military sources. I'm Army Specialist David Heller for AFBN Radio News, Saigon.
AFBN Worldwide News Coverage. Heard every hour on the hour.
Well, good evening to you. It's 1905. Time for the last Go Radio program. We're going to get experience, baby.
Well, I'm standing here freezing inside your golden garden. I've got my ladders leaned up against your wall. Tonight's the night we plan to run away together. Come on, jolly me, there's no time to stall. But now you're telling me.
Bye.
Getting experienced with Jimi Hendrix and the gang there. Little ditty called Wait Until Tomorrow. Go phase number one. Good evening to you. Marine Corporal Harry Simons hosting the show until about, let's see, 2100 tonight, thereabouts. We're going to feature the songs on the all-new Power Pole playlist this evening. Probably count down the top 30 or so. We'll get a little of the Jimi Hendrix sound in later, a little bit of the Canned Heat, some of Moby Grape, and some real heavy sounds for you.
Stepping up front with the perfect combination. You're a member of the in group.
Swinging music and you.
1909, here's my guy, Mr. Clarence Carter. Number 10 on that powerful Power Pole playlist. Honey, we're gonna slip away for a while.
What would I give for just a few moments? What would I give just to have you near? Oh, can you slip away, baby? I'd like to see you right now.
Sound power for all the blue and brown-eyed soul brothers in the NOM.
Can you slip away,
Mr. now? Clarence Carter?
'Cause I've got to see you.
It's new. It's different. And it's available to you 5 days across the equator and down under. Australia for R&R. Meet a rollicking, fun-loving people that enjoy a good time. And that good time can include you. It's so much like home that you'll be homesick before you get there. Horseback riding, bowling, swimming, surfing, boating. You name it, Sydney, Australia has it. See your R&R officer. Don't be bashful. Do it today.
Having a groovy time this evening. Go phase number one, 1912. Hang on, people. Groovy little song by Jackie DeShannon off that powerful Power Pole playlist. This is called The Wait.
I pulled into Nazareth. I was feeling about half-assed. I just need some place where I can lay my head. Hey, mister, can you tell me where can I find a bed? You just grinned, shook my hand, no was all he said. Take a load off, man. Take a load.
Be listening on October 14th when country and western music goes mod. AFVN's new country show called Town and Country is what we call chicken kickin' music. Listen evenings at 19:05 for AFVN's new mod C&W show, Town and Country, starting Monday, October 14th.
Go phase number one. Marine Corporal Harry Simons with you. Number 6 on the all-new Power Pole playlist. Sergio Mendez and the gang from Brazil 66. This is called Fool on a Hill.
Go, go, swinging B and radio rock.
go. Phase number one, Miss Aretha Franklin. Gonna say a little prayer. Number 14. Hang on, people.
Say a little prayer for you.
With the power of music, Aretha Franklin.
Security. What does it mean to you?
Hey, Frank, the old man says we have a big operation planned for next week. It's up somewhere near the area.
Don't say it. Every word you drop about a military operation increases the chances of a welcoming party waiting for you when you arrive. Don't talk away your security.
Go phase number one, 1922 here, Marine Corporal Harry Simon. Here comes Smokey. We're going to have a special occasion. Powerful little bitty there for Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. Esbaugh called special occasion on Go Phase Number One for a groovy Friday evening. Number 26 on the all-new Power Pole playlist.
AFVN Radio is going mod. AFVN Radio is going young. On October 14th, AFVN Radio is going to change format. Be listening when AFVN Radio goes mod. Monday, October 14th.
AFVN goes mod, mad, and everything else here. Starting Monday, here comes Miss Jeannie Riley. This is a groovy little sound. Sold a million songs in a week in one day. Harper Valley PT.
I want to tell you all a story about a Harper Valley widowed wife who had a teenage daughter who attended Harper Valley Junior High. Came home one afternoon and didn't even stop to play. No, I wouldn't put you on because it really did. It happened just this way. The day my mama socked it to the Harper Valley PTA. The day my mama socked it to the Harper Valley PTA.
Jeannie Riley telling it like it is at 1928. Go phase number one, backed by special request. Here's the association. This is going to be a six-man band.
Well, I'm a day at a time. I'm a day at a time. Oh, I'm a seeker and a knower and a six-man mind.
1930, that's number 60 on the Powerful Power Pole playlist, the association with a little six-man band. Say, if you towed an M16, listen up. The subject is tracer rounds. You know, tracers are colorful, and they serve a definite purpose, but too many are bad business. Tracers leave coppering in the bore. Now, coppering blocks gas ports, and blocked gas ports are hard to live with. Another thing about tracers, they don't pack the power that ball ammo does. Don't overdo it with those tracers, and remember to clean those magazines.
Harry, what was that about using tracer rounds in your rifle?
Well, Mike, AFVN was a military radio station, and we were not running commercials for the Dodge Chrysler dealership in Saigon. We didn't run commercials for Budweiser or any other commercial product, for that matter. Instead, AFEN ran announcements that were important to servicemen in Southeast Asia. Things like, remember to take your malaria pill. Make sure to keep your rifle clean. Change your socks. GI benefits, reenlistment bonuses. And one of my favorites was where to go for R&R. Things like that. There are important messages that the military needed to communicate with the troops. And AFVN did that.
This is AFVN, the GI's Companion, a special presentation of 1330 WEBY, Milton, Pensacola, Gulf Breeze, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. This tribute to our Vietnam veterans is proudly sponsored by Gulf Power, the Retirement Planners, Penair Federal Credit Union, Milton Dodge, and Joe Patty Seafood. We're speaking with Sergeant James Becker, who served in Vietnam. James, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
When were you in the United States Army?
I went in April 1967, and I got out in March of 1969.
How many of those years were you in Vietnam?
Just one. I was drafted.
What was your reaction when you got that draft letter?
Well, it was... It's hard to say what my reaction was. I certainly didn't want to go in the Army, and I didn't see any way to get out of it. I did show some interest in going into the Merchant Marine, and when I got an application, their first question on the application after your name and address and all that is, what is your draft status? And they said, if you've already been drafted, you cannot avoid the draft by enlisting, getting in the Merchant Marine.
What was your primary job in Vietnam?
Well, that's kind of an open question. I'm not sure I had a primary job. I was a squad leader. We built sandbag bunkers, and we maintained those. We had trucks, and from time to time I drove trucks for just to fill in. Did guard duty, and one of the things that I did on a fairly regular basis is me and another sergeant would take the garbage to the dump.
Well, that was pretty important, I would think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where were you based in Vietnam, James?
It was 20 miles south of the DMZ on the beach, a place called Wonder Beach, where freighters and LSTs came in and offloaded supplies, and our company took them inland to wherever they were supposed to go.
So you were fairly far north then?
Yes, yes.
Was there a lot of hostile action going on near you?
Virtually none. The war was kind of going on inland and over the top of us.
How much of a geographical area did you actually have to cover to perform your duties while you were in Vietnam from your primary location?
Oh, from our company area to the beach was just a matter of a few miles.
I understand, James, that you were awarded the Soldier of the Month. Tell me about that.
You know, I'm not sure how I got into the contest, but I've always had a very good memory, and just kicking around the service a little while, I had the answers to the most of the questions, and I had been up before boards before I was told how to present myself to a board, and I went in there, you know, as a smart, well-dressed uniform and saluted everybody and answered the questions, identified the person that asked the question and answered it, and I won. And then I went to the next phase, and I won again, and then I think in Camelon Bay, it must have been I Corps, I didn't win, but I was told later that the like seven of us that were before there, everybody that came with their own command sergeant major, the command sergeant major voted for their guy for number one, and so everybody had one vote for number one, and the guy that had the most votes for number two, he ended up winning.
Well, it certainly is it's a matter of military record that you were awarded the Soldier of the Month, and we congratulate you on that. And
all right, thank you.
What did the award consist of, James?
Well, I was promoted to E5, and I was told that if I won, I would get promoted to E5 ahead of time. So that made me feel pretty good. Oh, I did get an in-country R&R to Vung Tau.
And how long were you there on R&R?
It was a week.
Very nice. And that was, I presume, above and beyond the standard R&R that you would get after a certain amount of time in-country?
Sure, yeah.
Did you ever have the opportunity of being able to listen to AFVN radio while you were in Vietnam?
Well, when I was in Cam Ranh Bay, I did hear some guy that started out with a long Good Morning Vietnam, and I was kind of impressed with that. I bought a radio when we were at Wonder Beach, and I remember I paid like $200 for it because we had no PX privileges or nothing around, and this radio was very valuable. So I must have been able to listen to the radio. I wouldn't have bought it unless I had listened to it. And then when our company moved up to Quan Tri, we had all the privileges of PX and everything, and the radio was worthless. So when I left, I just gave it to somebody.
According to our records, you were interviewed as the Soldier of the Month. Do you recall
right.
that? Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, that was in Cam Ranh Bay, and I remember General McBride, who was the first logistics commander, came in and shook my hand, and they took pictures, and I pointed on the map where Wonder Beach was.
The person that interviewed you, James Becker, was Army Specialist John Flanagan with the Da Nang Support Command Information Office. Do you remember him?
No.
Did you get an opportunity while in Vietnam to hear your interview over the air on AFVN?
No. And they were going to send it to my hometown, and as far as I know, they never did.
Well, are you sitting down?
Sure.
Listen to this interview from 1969.
This is Army Specialist John Flanagan of the Da Nang Support Command Information Office reporting. The Da Nang Support Command has selected the Soldier of the Month for all First Log units in I Corps. He's Corporal James Becker from Douglas, Alaska. Jim, what's your unit and your job here in South Vietnam?
My unit's a 403rd terminal transfer. My job is mainly working in the platoon area, constructing different bunkers, building sidewalks, etc.
Jim, where's your unit located?
My unit's located at Wonder Beach in Quan Tri Province.
How did you get the title of being selected the Da Nang Support Command Soldier of the Month for all of the I Corps area?
Well, a Soldier of the Month board starts in a platoon level where your platoon sergeant selects a person in his platoon he wants to go up to the board. It goes before a company board, a battalion board, and then down here to Da Nang.
What rewards do you receive for being selected the Soldier of the Month?
For being Soldier of the Month, I received a promotion, Sergeant E5, a $25 savings bond, a three-day in-country R&R, plus the privilege to wear the shoulder patch, signifying that I am the Soldier of the Month.
Jim, what happens from now on?
After Da Nang, I go down to Cam Ranh Bay to compete in the First Log Soldier of the Month board.
Jim, I'd like to wish you the very best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. We've been speaking with Corporal E4 James Becker, who's been selected the Da Nang Support Command Soldier of the Month for all the First Log units in I Corps. This is Army Specialist John Flanagan of the Da Nang Support Command Information Office reporting and returning you to the studios of AFVN Da Nang.
Almost 50 years late, James, but that was you.
Yeah. You know, I didn't recognize my voice.
You were much younger then.
much. lot less weight, too.
Well, congratulations on receiving that award.
Thank you.
Pretty neat to hear that interview after all these years.
Yeah, that was interesting. There's some of the facts I had wrong. You know, I didn't remember that the R&R was only 3 days, and I had the shoulder patch. Yeah, I vaguely remember having to wear that. You know, the people in my squad and platoon, they weren't impressed.
Would you have expected that to be around 50 years later?
No, I didn't.
Well, I'll tell you why it is. Harry Simons is much too modest to tell you, so I'll brag on his behalf. He has something like 14 plus hours of original reel-to-reel recordings that he has kept in a footlocker for 45 years, and your interview was among those recordings. Sergeant James Becker, thank you for your service.
Well, thank you.
And I mean that.
Well, I saw Tatacron, but I'm out on the road again. I'm on the road again. Well, I'm so Tatacron, but I'm out on the road again. I'm on the road again. I ain't got no woman just to call my special friend.
Sounds like a freaky version of the NBC Chimes Man. With the power of music, Marine Corporal Harry Simons, Phase 1.
Spend your weekend where things happen. AFPN with the sound that's in.
Hang on, people, it's Revolution Time.
Say you want a revolution. No, we all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world.
Last go radio program here from AFEN Radio. Say, how many times have you seen the slogan, secure your valuables? Well, this just doesn't include money. You know, keeping a big wad handy is not a wise thing to do. Keep track of your money the smart way, with a safe and convenient checking account through one of the military banking facilities here in Vietnam. See your pay clerk as soon as possible for further information and secure that money.
This sound is Hitbound on the Power Pole playlist.
Little ditty from Iron Butterfly in a Gadada Da Vita. Groovy little sound, dig it. Number 38.
In a Gadada Vita. Don't you know that I'm loving you? In a Gadada Vita, baby. Don't you know that I'll always be true?
The big difference. The happy difference. The much more music sound of AFVN Radio. Listen for it Monday, October 14th, when AFVN goes mod.
Sound powered by the Box Tones. Hey, fella, I'm Metern Church.
I'm Metern Church. I'm Metern Church. On a Sunday morning, she looked at me with eyes of love, as the choir sang her hallelujah.
Hallelujah. A little bit of country and western, some of that soul sound, a little bit of gospel, rock, and plain old music, all wrapped up into one with a box top.
The sound is moving and grooving music.
Radio, let's go, go. It's what's happening. The big sound, AFPN. 1945 with the power of music, Marine Corporal Harry Simons. This little gal has really got a unique voice. Little Lulu. This is Morning Dew.
Walk me out of the morning dew, my honey. Walk me out in the morning
That's number 58 on the powerful Power Pole playlist here from AFVN. Go phase number one, that's Little Lulu. Called Morning Dew. Marine Corporal Harry Simons with you. Got a real heavy now. This is done by the Good Earth, believe it or not. This is called I Can See the Light.
What's that I see there? Is it what I've been looking for? Is it a guidepost? Is it a thing to trust for sure? I know I've got a way to go. I can see a light, and it's smiling through my window. Oh, I can see a light that I've never seen before.
How'd you like to sink your teeth into a steak about 3 inches thick? Chew on those golden French fries, bite down on hot garlic French bread, and chomp down on a green salad with French dressing. You miss all that if you don't take care of your teeth. Brush regularly. Even in the boonies. Besides, people who don't have any teeth are hard to kiss. Brush your teeth. You never know who'll be around.
Hi, love.
See what I mean? There's a doll fit for a king.
Swinging music and you.
Crazy World of Arthur Brown, number 5 in the powerful Power Pole playlist. That's called Fire. This is little Lynn Roman. This is called When I Was 5. Going to take us up to news time at 2000.
When I was 5, I was a motor car, and everyone was driving me. Went out to sing, I was a red balloon, but a string would never let me fly free. At 15 years, I was a Saturday night, but still they wouldn't leave me alone. But now I've reached the time when I gotta be me. I've reached the time when I gotta be free and call my love.
One down, one to go. Phase one has done fini. That's all she wrote, fellas. We're going to sock the news to you at 2000. We'll be right back at 2005. Phase number two, the last hour of the Go Radio program, As She Be. For Friday, 11 October 1968. We'll see you after the news. This is the American Forces Vietnam Network.
ESPN is what's happening.
Channel 54, Saigon.
Hi, this is Joe Allison, your host on our Country Corner program. I'd like to take just a minute of your time right here. Do you know that some people who re-enlist in the Army receive as much as $10,000 in cash, a 30-day leave free, or a guaranteed stateside post of choice? Why not call or check into this? Find out just what you are entitled to.
The time at the automatic tone in 5 seconds from AFEN signifies 20-100.
This is AFVN News on the Hour.
Good evening. This is Army Specialist Michael Maxwell with these reports from major American networks, wire services, and military sources. In presidential politics, GOP contender Richard Nixon will appear at a public rally at Southern Methodist University in Dallas tonight. Today, Nixon got a report from the former Pennsylvania Governor William Scranton, who has just returned from a 3-week European fact-finding tour he made for Mr. Nixon. Scranton said U.S. allies feel America is unable to take care of its own internal money and race problems. Democratic hopeful Hubert Humphrey and his running mate Edmund Muskie plan to issue a new debate challenge to Richard Nixon. Humphrey will make 2 more appearances in New York City and then leave for Cincinnati. Humphrey spent much of today in private fundraising sessions, principally to raise money for television time. Senator Edmund Muskie campaigned in Camden, New Jersey, and Muskie talked about police.
Yes, the policeman is part of the community. He's effective when he's accepted by the community. He's effective when he understands the community. He's effective when he works with, not against, the community.
Third-party candidate George Wallace campaigned in North Dakota, Wyoming, and Colorado. He got a lukewarm reception in Duluth, Minnesota today. Several hundred youths rose silently and walked out of a hockey arena where he was speaking. Wallace had no comment so far on a federal court suit by an Alabama state legislator. Representative Bryce Graham charges Wallace and others with unlawfully looting the state's treasury of public money to spend on the Wallace presidential campaign. It's been announced in Hollywood that film star Burt Lancaster will host a party at his home on Sunday to raise money for the legal defense of some 400 persons arrested in convention week disorders in Chicago. Waiters and waitresses will include Julie Andrews, Donna Reed, Joel St. John, and Paul Newman and his wife, Joanne Woodward. The party at Lancaster's home is being sponsored by the Committee of Arts and Letters for Senator Eugene McCarthy. In other news, with a countdown going along without a hitch, the 2 backup astronauts went into the cabin of the Apollo 7 moon ship this afternoon to give its final check for blastoff tonight on an 11-day orbital test run. The men who will take the ship on its long voyage through space, Walter Schirra, Don Eisel, and Walter Cunningham, went to bed at about 10 a.m. Saigon time this morning in their quarters about 7 miles from the launch site. If the Apollo 7 flight is successful, an Apollo 8 craft may be sent around the moon in 10 orbits in December. The weather now is the only question. Dr. Wernher von Braun, Apollo launch director, says bad weather could postpone the launch.
If an exit is necessary due to the weather situation, we would probably have to postpone the launch for 24 hours. It looks like we will be on time and the weather will not interfere.
AFVN will bring you live coverage of that Apollo launch tonight at 22:45 hours. Informed diplomatic sources in London say Ho Chi Minh is waiting for what he considers an acceptable coalition government to emerge in Saigon before he'll begin meaningful war negotiations. The informants say this, plus a U.S. bombing halt, are Hanoi's big requirements for meaningful negotiations. President Johnson has decided not to submit another name for Chief Justice at this time. Senator Robert Griffin was one of the men instrumental in defeating the appointment of Justice Abe Fortas. Newsmen asked Griffin if the next president will make appointments which will change the character of the Supreme Court.
Certainly the personnel and composition of the court, I think, will be changed as to whether or not the philosophy of the court will be changed. It'd be difficult to say. I don't know that there's any way of forecasting. I hope that the next president, however, is going to select people who have judicial experience and who will be outstanding jurists rather than political appointees.
About 50 Democratic congressmen threatened to block adjournment of the House until the Senate votes on a bill to permit TV debates between the 3 major presidential candidates. Senate Republicans virtually killed the measure by threatening to filibuster against it.
The House today approved a $1.75 billion foreign aid bill. That's the lowest in history. Earlier today, Congress sent to the President one of the last big money bills to be acted on before adjournment, the $18.4 billion appropriation for the Departments of Labor and Health, Education and Welfare. Three leading cancer researchers have announced in Washington that newly developed drugs can now completely control certain forms of disease. The scientists said these include leukemia, Hodgkin's disease, and other fast-growing forms of cancer. And that's the news compiled from major American news services and military sources here in Saigon. This is Army Specialist Michael Maxwell reporting.
AFBN Worldwide News Coverage. Heard every hour on the hour.
John Steele enlisted in the United States Navy Reserve in 1964. He ultimately served 20 years in the Navy and retired as a Chief Petty Officer in 1985. Did you, John, assume when you enlisted that you would end up in the Vietnam War?
No, I did not assume that at all. At the time that I enlisted, which was in, I actually started out in the Navy Reserve in 1964, Vietnam was not a big issue yet. It was just starting to build. So that wasn't a thing in my perspective at the time.
Well, other than a simple answer of, well, they ordered me to go, how'd you end up in the Vietnam theater?
They ordered me to go, but, you wanted a better answer. First, I went through a dispersing clerk school payroll and learned how to be a payroll clerk. And I was assigned to Naval Supply Depot, Subic Bay in the Philippines, which was in direct support to everything going on in Vietnam. Almost everything going to Vietnam went through Subic Bay. And then I spent 2 years there with that, and then went back and became a data processing technician, and then boarded the USS Hornet and sailed to the Gulf of Tonkin and spent my tour there. We were there predominantly to provide protection to the New Jersey, the battleship that was there firing inland in support of our troops on the ground.
And what did you do on board the Hornet?
I actually was a data processing technician. I was a shift supervisor in the non-tactical computer center, which was in total support of Naval Aviation. Which we did, we tracked the maintenance, the parts, and everything else of naval aviation to keep the aircraft in the air.
Rumor has it you were a lot like the character Red in The Shawshank Redemption. You were a man who knew how to get things.
There are some similarities there. One day, early in this cruise, when we were in the Gulf of Tonkin, I heard my commander, the commander of the supply department, having a very heated discussion with some of his subordinates, that because we were an anti-submarine warfare carrier and we were not an attack carrier, that he was unable to get aviation support parts, and a high percentage of our aircraft were down in the hangar bay, couldn't fly. And he was really concerned because the captain was on his back, to get the birds in the air, and he was unable, through the normal naval requisitioning system, to get the parts he needed. And I told him that I could fix his problem.
What was his reaction to that?
First, he didn't believe me. And then I told him, I said, you give me, and at that time, we used to sell cigarettes aboard ship because we were outside the 3-mile limit. They were called Blue Seal cigarettes, which means there was no tax on them. Back then, a carton of cigarettes cost you $1.10 for a carton. And we had Blue Seals, and they came in 60 cartons per case. And I told the commander, I said, since I know the Filipino warehouseman in QB Point personally, and I speak their language, I just come from 2 years there, I told him, you give me 2 cases of cigarettes, I'll get you any parts you need. So first he didn't believe me, but he was rather desperate. So he come up with 2 cases. I took a case of Marlboro and a case of Pall Mall's, and they flew me on a C-2, that's a carrier onboard delivery aircraft, twin engine turboprop, launched me off the deck of the aircraft carrier, sent me in. I landed at QB Point Naval Air Station with my 2 cases of cigarettes. I had a shopping list that he gave me for aviation parts. 2 days later, I loaded all those parts on board the C-2 carrier onboard delivery aircraft and flew them back to the Hornet. After that, I never had to spend a full 30 days at sea.
I would imagine that would definitely earn you some downtime.
It did. In fact, when I got about halfway through the cruise, and I'd done this 2 or 3 times, because sometimes I'd go in twice a month to get parts, And same thing, you know, I knew the warehouseman, and the warehouseman, the Filipinos would do virtually anything for a carton of cigarettes. And so I could go in and negotiate whatever we needed to get whatever parts we need, and we didn't worry about the priority requisitioning system of attack aircraft carriers.
Well, I'm sure the statute of limitations has long since expired. Was that legal?
Technically, no, but I grew up in a Navy that had a different philosophy than the Navy today. Our philosophy was that it is 10 times easier to get forgiven than it is to get permission. And the mission came first. And if you had a mission, you figured out how to get the mission done, no matter what.
So at Subic Bay, how'd they account for it in the inventory?
I don't know. That wasn't my problem. But, you know, whenever you're doing, you know, you go and you do inventories, and you're talking the size of the warehouses there, because there was massive, massive amounts of materials moving through there to Vietnam. And you know, I mean, when you went and ran an inventory, there was, you know, there's a standard phrase, lost an inventory. And I assume that's how they did it. I didn't care. My job was to get the parts and get it for my ship so that our aircraft could fly.
Do you remember listening to AFEN when you were on board the Hornet?
Yes, we did get AFEN. What we did is we had our own DJ aboard the ship, but he'd only be on like 2 hours a day. The rest of the time, we got to listen to wonderful people like, bark, 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 bark! You know, I enjoyed the Chicken Man.
Chicken Man, he's everywhere, he's everywhere.
Absolutely, he solved all the world's problems. And he kept us entertained. I also listened to AFEN when I was in Subic Bay.
Well, that's 1,000 miles across the South China Sea.
Yes, sir, it was, but I had a little secret system. They did not broadcast Vietnam AFEN to us, but a friend of mine and I went together and bought one of these great big giant portable Zenith transoceanic radios back at the time, and that's how we got a chance to listen to AFEN, as we would tune in and listen to, because they had much better entertainment than we had in Subic. And so we used that radio for some time. And we also used that radio to make a lot of extra money.
How so?
Well, a Zenith transoceanic back then, that was kind of a really big, expensive piece of equipment. We could go about halfway up a mountainside away from Subic Bay, and we could pick up the radio stations back in the United States on that radio. And what was really exciting is AFEN usually play football games from back in the United States 24 hours after the game was played. And so me and my buddy would go up on the mountain, we would listen to the radio stations back in the United States, listen to the football game, get the score, and then go down on the base and place our bets on the game before AFEN actually broadcast the game.
Almost like the movie The Sting.
Similar.
Except yeah. I think that was actually a recreation, not a delay.
Yeah, yeah. We had a 24-hour delay, and what we did was we went and listened to the games, and it got so good because I was only interested in football, but what the heck, we made so much money, we lasted right on through baseball and some basketball games and whatever we could get, and then we never really got caught because we would just kind of subtly play it out and make a few hundred extra dollars and hit the beach.
Excellent. So, what would you say is your favorite memory of your time in Southeast Asia in the theater?
The people. Whether it was the Vietnamese people that I met on the brief times that I flew into Da Nang or Saigon, because I did make a couple of trips in there off the carrier, or the people I met in the Philippines. People are wonderful. The South Vietnamese people were just wonderful people. The Filipino people, the ones I met while I was there, because you understand that's the mid-60s, a lot of those people still remembered World War II. They still remembered the Japanese. There were times I would go to a hotel or to a bar or a restaurant, and I wasn't allowed to pay because I was an American. And these people remembered what we did for them. So if you have to ask me what's the most significant thing, was the people.
Do you remember where you went on R&R?
Yes, I do. Actually, my R&R was when I was in the Philippines. I used to go to Manila all the time. In fact, one thing, at that time, Lyndon Johnson came over and stayed at the Manila Hotel, which was the fanciest hotel there, in the presidential suite. And me and two fellow dispersing clerks thought, well, the president's no better than we are. So we went the next weekend and rented exactly the same suite and stayed in the presidential suite at the Manila Hotel. So a lot of my R&R was around the islands. As far as being aboard the ship, when I was aboard the USS Hornet, we did make some port of calls. We pulled into Singapore. That was interesting. And I thought that was very fascinating. I was a young single sailor at the time, and the British just didn't impress me. They were out town getting drunk, leaving all the good-looking women on the base. So, you know, it didn't take me long to figure out where I needed to hang out. So that worked quite well. Made trips to Sasebo, Yokosuka, aboard that ship, aboard the USS Hornet. Had a lot of interesting experiences. So the R&R from Vietnam was Singapore, Sasebo, Yokosuka, and back in the Philippines.
What else you want to talk about?
Well, when we came back, I remember I flew back into Travis Air Force Base. I left the USS Hornet CVS-12 just as it steamed to Korea when the Pueblo was captured. And I remember that very vividly. But at that time, I was scheduled to go to another school, so I flew off the Hornet, come to Travis Air Force Base. And I remember walking outside the gate at Travis Air Force Base in my uniform. And I remember three gentlemen, you know, spitting on me. And that happened to be right underneath a street sign called Haight and Ashbury. I'd always heard this was a fascinating place, so I wanted to go up there and see it. So I did, and I'm standing underneath the street sign. Three guys come by, and they decide to spit on me and started making some remarks. And, you know, it was a hippie culture, and they were totally anti-military. And I guess I got upset. Because when the police pulled me off of them and arrested the three of them, I had skinned up an elbow, both sets of knuckles, and I just kind of like lost it. I mean, I was really upset. So I was very upset when I come back how my country treated all of us. When the guys come back, when George Herbert Walker Bush went into Kuwait and they... you know, defeated Saddam Hussein and Kuwait, and they had the big parade. I finally got to cry. When they had the parade for those guys come home, I talked to a lot of friends from Vietnam. We all felt the same way. We felt finally we got our parade. Because we were ostracized, we were insulted, we were called baby killers, we were everything you can think of.
One of the reasons we're doing this broadcast is as a tribute to the veterans of the Vietnam War for precisely that reason. You did your job.
Yes, we tried to do our best we could.
And you were not appreciated for it at the time. Well, John, thank you for your service.
You're very welcome. I'd do it again.
Now, another exciting episode in the life of the most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
Chicken Man!
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The office of the police commissioner of Midland City.
Yes, this is the commissioner speaking.
Commissioner.
Yes, speaking.
This is Mrs. Argerol Clark, the second.
Yes, Mrs. Argerol Clark, the second.
I have just discovered that my precious Hamisha Ruby is missing.
When?
This afternoon.
Where?
From around my neck.
It just happens that a wonderful white-winged warrior is in my office now. He will be there immediately.
Oh, how wonderful. Thank you. For sending him so promptly. Goodbye.
How do you do? I am the white-winged warrior. How may I help you?
Well,
my specialty is striking terrific terror into the hearts of all the...
Yes, my Hamisha Ruby is missing.
Where was it last seen?
Around my neck.
May I see your neck, please?
This is it.
Yes.
What is it?
Obviously done by someone familiar with your neck.
I beg your pardon?
You're sure it just didn't fall down?
No, it did not.
You may have looked down.
I have looked.
It wasn't down there.
No.
Well, what we have here plainly is... Hold on. What is behind that door?
My guest. You see, I am entertaining several hundred people of the ladies' auxiliary of the...
Stand back, please.
What are you going to...
There must be at least 400 people here.
Yes.
I would like to make an announcement.
All right. Attention, please. Quiet, everyone. May I introduce the wonderful white-winged warrior?
Thank you all very much. It is rare that I have the opportunity to appear before such a large group as this at one time, and therefore I'd like to take this opportunity to pass out to all of you my latest 8x10 glossy photo.
Oh.
Yes. As you can see, I'm caught in a typical crime-fighting action pose. Now, I'll be happy to individually autograph these for you. Form a single line to the left here. Hello there, your name?
Would you make it with all my love to Beatrice?
Of course.
Winged warrior.
You'll have to get in line like everyone else, Mrs. Arthur O'Clark.
Unbelievable.
Yes, it was. Just taken as I jumped off the Great Midland City Bridge. Next month, we're going to have sweatshirts.
Well, will the white-winged warrior remember not to sign Benton Harbor? Will a glossy 8x10 replace the Hamisha Ruby in the heart of Mrs. Clark? Be listening tomorrow for another exciting episode in the life of the most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
Chicken Man!
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
Another program host at AFEN Da Nang was Army Sergeant Joe Rowland with the 101st Airborne. We have one of his recordings from April 14, 1969. The record button was hit during the top of the hour news, so we join it in progress.
Finally, a news and memorial service for former President Eisenhower will be held tomorrow at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Prime Minister Wilson, Prince Consort Philip, and Elizabeth, the Queen Mother, will attend. I'm Marine Corporal Rick Fredrickson, and that's news compiled from commercial and military news agencies on April 14, 1969.
And now, from beautiful downtown Monkey Mountain, it's time for Cavalcade, starring the winner of the 1968 Shirley Temple Lookalike Contest, the lovely Sergeant Joe Rowland. And now, here's the man to whom the music wouldn't be the music without the music. Here's Joey.
And a happy Monday morning to you. Compliments of the 101 Airborne Division. I'm Army Sergeant Joey Rowland with music until 9. Steppenwolf.
She escaped a lot, but she saw her for all the men that tried to treat her wrong. Gorgeous the fever, awaiting her tomorrow. It's rock me, baby, all night long.
Rock Me Baby, done by Steppenwolf on AFVN. And now for the 1st of the 44th Artillery, 101 Airborne Division, give me good lovin'.
From the land of Georgia to the Gulf Stream Florida to California, I'm gonna spend my life a broken night and day. Give me good lovin'.
Kind of a wild group. It's called the Crazy Elephant. Gimme, gimme, good lovin', 12 minutes after 8 o'clock on a cavalcade.
You're in every morning. AFBN, when you start your day.
We know you've heard us talk about the Red Cross and the 1-2-3 combination to use for getting home in case of emergencies. Well, we don't want you to forget about this subject. In an emergency, first, your family contacts the Red Cross at their local chapter. Next, the Red Cross contacts you and supplies your commander with verification necessary for emergency leave. Finally, your company cuts your orders and you're on your way. That's all there is to it. But like we've always said, we hope you never have to use this combination.
We'll take your advice on that one. Solid gold.
I love Corina. Tell the world I do. I love Corina. Tell the world.
got a way to fly.
Oh, darling, don't you know?
That's Ray Peterson all about Karina.
I love you so.
15 after 8 o'clock. Oh, brother. Hey, guess who's coming tonight? Better news. Guess who my friend is here? You better believe it. That's right. The Shades of Jade are in the I-Corps area to bring you the very finest of entertainment. From jazz to rock and roll, the Shades of Jade will be playing in your favorite area when they appear at your local service club. Members of the group, they're servicemen who know and play the music that you like. Don't miss the Shades of Jade when they appear in your local area. Now, for times and dates, check with your local service club.
I remember my first love affair. Somehow or another, the whole darn thing went wrong. My mama had some great advice, so I thought I'd put it in the words of this song. I can still hear her saying, "Only the strong survive. Hey, you gotta be strong. You gotta hold on. Don't worry about it. Don't you know that things are gonna change? Oh, but you gotta be a man. You gotta take a stand. Don't ever feel that
every night, AFPN, it was happening. Yeah, it's going to be coming your way at 9:05 tonight. It's called the Chucky Program on AFPN. Give it a try.
Hey, girl, everybody knows your name.
Three prophets on a cavalcade all about the playgirl. 21 after 8 o'clock in the morning. You're one of today's youth, a most important member of the world's population. You're hip, fast-thinking, impatient with cliches that hide the truth. You like to hear it just the way it is, straight. Well, one out of three who die in traffic accidents is one of your generation. A life just beginning is ending. Keep it alive, drive carefully, obey the road signs, and watch out for the other guy. Remember, speeding will only save seconds, not lives.
Larry. Larry Grant, today, 11:05. That's the only way to fly, huh?
AFBN, audio 85.
Here's a song that's going places around town, done by that gal of the name Carla Thomas. I like what you're doing to me. One time.
Baby, I like what you're doing to me. I'm all messed up now. Baby, I like what you're doing to me.
Thomas, bring my chair. I like what you're doing to me. Hit bound power from AFVN. You know, you've heard the old expression about ring my chimes. Well, if you've been ringing your chimes, you can ring the chimes of your radio to find AFVN Dene. Now, if you're up around Quang Tri, Camp Eagle 101 area, 9:30 on your radio dial is best reception. And Dang Yang, set your dial at 850. Over in July, 1200 KCs. Now just sit back and enjoy some good music, huh? Oh, yeah.
AFPN, it's what's happening. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And speaking of the very best entertainment, Channel 11 AFVN Television. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday, AFVN Television had Tot Springer on camera. Now, tonight at 8 o'clock, we hope to have the camera repaired. So at 7:30, dig the news and sports on AFBN Channel
11.
Got a hammer, nail, and a hunk of wood.
I'll build a dollhouse.
If you marry me the way I think you should,
I'll build a dollhouse.
Cutest place you'll ever see.
Dottie Brooks, solid gold, I'm gonna build a dollhouse. Standing by now for the news, that's N-E-W-S, people. Stand by for music on AFBN, coming up short. Simple song. That was done by the Family Stone on AFBN. We're standing by, ladies and gentlemen. It's 8:30 and time for news with Army Sergeant Mike Martin.
The state of California is expected to conclude its final arguments tomorrow in the trial of Sirhan Sirhan on charges he murdered Robert Kennedy. All that would remain would be instructions by Judge Hubert Walker, and the jury would begin deliberating the fate of the Arab immigrant. Anti-war demonstrators still have control of the Applied Electronics Laboratory at Stanford University. The student rebels are also making plans to spread their demonstration to an affiliated research institute to protest some $2 million in classified research in progress at Stanford. In Chicago, Illinois, Central Railroad officials announced they are rehiring 225 workers whose jobs have been eliminated by the anti-featherbedding laws. That ended a transport worker strike that shut down the IC for 5 days this week. Tornadoes touched down today near the Gulf Coast city of Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, and 120 miles inland at Hazelhurst, Mississippi. The twisters flattened oak trees 3 feet thick and damaged at least 3 homes. The far-reaching storms also produced heavy rains in the Southland. More than 8 inches of rain fell at Beaumont, Mississippi, and generated hailstorms the size of golf balls at Edwards, also in Mississippi. Katharine Hepburn is in line to become the first actress in the 41-year history of the Academy Awards to win 3 Oscars. She is nominated this year for her performance in The Lion and Winner. The movie Oliver tops all films with 11 nominations. The presentation ceremonies are scheduled for tomorrow evening. Allied diplomats in Paris say the communist attacks on Allied bases this weekend have interfered with progress at the peace talks. The sources say the communist attacks prove they are not yet serious about establishing a Vietnam peace. Western diplomats say the communist offensive is aimed at trying to undermine the Saigon regime of South Vietnamese President Thu. The communist goal apparently is to set up a transitional peace cabinet to head negotiations for South Vietnam. Here in Vietnam, U.S. military sources report the communists have massed enough artillery in the demilitarized zone to threaten every Allied position within 10 miles of the buffer zone. The sources say North Vietnam has beefed up this Maginot line of artillery with an average of 10,000 troops every 20 miles north of the zone. The sources say the communists have increased their string of 100 DMZ batteries to more than 200 since the November 1st bombing halt. Each battery is anchored in the cement and capable of firing thousands of rounds per hour. In other Vietnam developments, guerrillas in the Mekong Delta near Saigon have ambushed a flotilla of U.S. Navy boats on the Dong Ki Ho River. 3 Americans died and 9 were wounded. In the I Corps, members of Delta Company, 2nd Battalion, 501st, 101st Airborne Division, ran into an unexpected enemy in the lowlands south of Wei recently. The members of the 2nd Platoon encountered a large beehive. The company was returning from a routine operation When the point man crossed a small stream and saw the hive sitting in a tree in elephant grass across a creek. The platoon began to look for another route, one that would take them around the enormous beehive, when suddenly someone yelled and paratroopers scattered in all directions, blazing trails through the 8-feet-high elephant grass. After eluding the bees, the platoon regrouped and continued on. The medics at the battalion aid station were confronted later in the day with a large number of patients, all suffering from the same complaint. Stings received in action against hostile bees. For the 101st Airborne Division, this is Army Sergeant Mike Martin.
AFBN, audio 85.
Compliments. Okay, honey. Compliments of the 101 Airborne Division. I'm Army Sergeant Joey Rowland, and I have a question for you. Where, ladies and gentlemen, do you not want to go?
Way up north.
You tell them now.
Alaska. Way up north.
North to Alaska. North to Alaska. We're going north. The rush is on.
Big Sam left Seattle in year of 92. With George Pratt, his partner, and his brother Billy, too. They crossed the Yukon River and found the bonanza gold. Below that old white mountain, just a little southeast of Nome.
North to Alaska, we're going north, the rush is on. North to Alaska, we're going north, the rush is on.
Way up north,
north to Alaska.
Way up north,
north to Alaska.
Way up north.
Another solid gold song, North to Alaska, done by Frankie Lay and AFVN, 12 before 9 o'clock. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, just as there are two sides to every single coin, we also have two ways to make a promise. One with sincere and honest production, the other with false hope. Now, promises that can't be kept should never be made to these Vietnamese people. Every effort should be made to provide protection for the Vietnamese people against the Viet Cong. But before you make a promise or protection or aid, be sure it can be executed. Now clear all channels for actions before you assure a Vietnamese of your ability to perform something on his behalf. Remember, a broken promise is worse than none at all. In other words, don't lie! Yeah.
AFTN is what's happening.
What's happening 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I hate to be, you know, kind of like a thief myself, but it will happen tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Chucky will tell you. This is Aretha.
This tribute to our Vietnam veterans is proudly sponsored by Pennair Federal Credit Union, Milton Dodge, Joe Patty Seafood, Gulf Power, and the Retirement Planners. Be sure to listen tomorrow afternoon from 4 to 6 for our next episode of AFVN, the GI's Companion, here on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. We'll go to sea on a risky rescue mission by the branch of the U.S. military that few know was even involved in Vietnam. And we'll talk to an Army sergeant assigned to AFVN who spent more than 5 years as a prisoner of war.
WEBY, Milton, Pensacola, Gulf Breeze, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio.